worship services. And this this man, he was kind of prodding people with a question. And he was talking about, he said, when your preacher is up there and he starts preaching a long sermon, he was asking these people, do you begin to get bored and start looking at your cell phone and checking your text messages and stuff? And I don't have any idea why this man was talking about this, why he was asking people this, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And I believe this is just right. I believe when a man of God is standing before a congregation and trying to preach God's word, that's no time to be checking text messages. That's no time to be, you know, looking at your cell phones. And I believe we ought to have a respect for the house of God. I want to read some scripture today from the first chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And those that prophecy came from the prophet Isaiah. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I want to use a title again today, actually a rather long title. We say this oftentimes during Christmas time. We say that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so I want to use the title today, Jesus is the reason for the season, and we are the reason he came. And I want us to think for a moment. It really is amazing. And it's something that must be received by faith, because it goes far beyond the ability of man to be able to understand this with the mind. It's not logical. It must be accepted by faith that comes from the heart, because what God did is just amazing, that God, the God of creation, the God of all heaven, and the God that owns all things in heaven and earth, that he came here and lived as a human. I mean, that's just amazing. that God did such a thing as that. The Apostle Paul wrote about it when he wrote to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." So here in these verses that we have read from the first chapter of Matthew, the Bible told us here, again, concerning the prophecy that Isaiah gave, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and that his name would be called Emmanuel, which is the interpretation of that, is God with us. And now, you know, God has been with his people, and the Lord has been in the world throughout all the ages of time. You know, the Holy Spirit of God has always been in the world. And so God has been with his creation throughout time in different ways. But what the Bible is talking about here when it says that the interpretation of Emmanuel is that God is with us, is that God would be with us in the same form. He would be with us and he would be like us, that he would dwell among us. And that's what John was talking about. We read in the first chapter of the gospel according to John, where he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's using the term the Word, capital W, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he goes on there in that first chapter of John in verse 14, you'll find that he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so that's what we are talking about here. And that's what was being spoken about in this first chapter of Matthew, when his name, Emmanuel, means God with us. God with us, God manifest in the flesh and dwelling among us. And that certainly is a great mystery, isn't it? That's the first thing that the Apostle Paul mentioned in that letter that he wrote to Timothy when he talked about the mystery, the great mystery of godliness. The first thing that he mentioned was that God was manifest in the flesh. And so if there's any question in the minds of anybody here today as to who Jesus is and who he was when he was in the world, I want you to know that he was God. He was Jehovah God. He was the Lord God Almighty in a human body. He was God here in the flesh. And I want to read a little bit more scripture. I want to call your attention to something that is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Beginning with verse 6, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he had told them that he was the way of salvation. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he goes on and says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And so, you know, Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus and his Father are one. One what? They are one God. You know, there's only one true God. There's many false gods. The Bible tells us there's gods, many, speaking about gods in false terms, speaking about idol gods. There's many of them, and people are still making them today, but there's only one true God. There's only one true and living God, Lord God Almighty, and he came to this world incarnate. He came to this world and dwelt among us. That's something, isn't it? That God emptied himself. That's what the Philippian letter tells us, that he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so, yes, yes, great is the mystery of godliness, that he was manifest in the flesh. Now, there were many things that happened as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ being born into the world. But I'm going to say this, that he did not come just to come. He came here with great reason. He came here with great purpose. Listen, Jesus came here to the world to do what nobody else could do. Of all of the population of people that would occupy the world from Adam until the last person is born into the world, however many that is, I believe that the world right now, the population of the world right now is, I think, about 7 billion or something like that. But nobody can do what the Lord does. Or nobody could do what the Lord came to do. He came here to do what only he could do. And so there were many things, as I said, that happened as a result of him being born into the world. And we read in the Bible how that when he was born, how that those shepherds were out there in their fields watching their flock by night. And the angels, the mighty angels of God, came and appeared to them. And they announced to these shepherds the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came and they appeared to these shepherds out there. And they said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so his birth was announced by the heavenly host. We remember reading in the Gospel according to Luke about Simeon, how that God had promised to this man named Simeon that he was not going to die. He would not see death. He had a promise from God, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had laid his eyes upon the Lord's Christ. He had been promised that he would see him before his demise. And when they brought Jesus as a baby, when they brought him to the temple, and Simeon beheld him, and he held him, and he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There were just some miraculous things that happened when Jesus was born into the world. I'll tell you what, him, as we heard even in the beautiful song today, the Lord being born under the circumstances that he was, under the conditions that he was born, him being born into the world and laid in a manger, not able to find any room in the inn, and the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and being laid into a manger, how humbling. I mean, God really had to humble himself to do what he did. And as I said in Philippians, he humbled himself even to the point that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we're told in the first chapter of Matthew, and the things that the Lord did while he was here, not only touching lives in infancy, I mean, he was affecting the lives of people when he was just a baby. And by the time he was 12 years old, he was sitting in the temple, and he was just astounding the Jewish doctors with his wisdom, with his questions and his answers, the miracles that he did. The Lord did so much while he was here in the world, but I'm telling you, he had a primary purpose for coming. And that's spoken of here in this first chapter of Matthew. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Jesus came to the world to die. He came here because the world, the creation, mankind was steeped in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all guilty of that. And there had to be a sacrifice made that would suit God. There had to be a sacrifice made that would please the Lord. All of the animals that had been sacrificed through the years to typify the blood of Jesus, all of those bulls and goats that had been sacrificed under the Mosaic law, the Bible teaches us they could never take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats could never remit sin. They could never remove it. That blood could never set us free from sin. And so Jesus came to give his life. He came here to the world to die. He came here to make a way that people could be saved and to have eternal life. I'm glad Jesus came, aren't you? I'm thankful that he was willing to come. He said this himself, and we find it recorded in the 18th chapter of Matthew in verse 11. Jesus tells there the reason that he came. He said, for the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. Well, who was that? It was all of us. All of us. I'll tell you what, I don't believe, I'll just go public here today. I don't believe this stuff that's taught in the world about Jesus coming here and dying for a select group of people. I don't believe the stuff that people teach about people being foreordained, certain people being foreordained and predestinated unto eternal life from the beginning of the world, and those being the only people that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for. I don't believe that limited atonement is biblical. He came here and gave his life for everybody. The Bible makes that plain. The fact that the scriptures tell us that Jesus died for sinners tells us that he died for all of us, because we are all guilty of that. He came here to seek and to save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, when Paul wrote to the preacher Timothy, He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now listen, he's going to write to Timothy what Jesus came here to do. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm telling you today, if you're here and you're lost without the Lord, that Jesus came here and gave his life as a ransom for your sins. In the 10th chapter of John, in the 10th verse where Jesus was speaking about the parable of the sheepfold, he said, the thief cometh not before to kill and to steal and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And thank God for eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the world could not have had that if he would not have been willing to come. He came here. Listen, he came here, lost friend, to save everybody that will meet his conditions. He came here to save every soul that will repent of their sins and place their trust in him. That's what's required of all of us. God is no respecter of persons. You can't be justified before God by the things that you do. You cannot be justified before God by the works that you do. You don't have any that will satisfy him. The only thing that will satisfy God is the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, his blood, unlike that of bulls and goats, his blood will wash away your sins. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You know, not all of us saw him while he was here. John said that some of them did. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There were some that lived and witnessed his first coming and witnessed his birth and actually walked with him and talked with him while he was here in the flesh. Most of the world didn't get to see that, but everybody will one day see him, because the Bible says every eye shall see him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And there in that first chapter of Revelation, the Bible is talking about Jesus, and it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. His own blood. And so, you know, the angels there, that time that they appeared to those shepherds, they were right. The angels were right. They were right on target with what they said. Because when they announced the birth of this child, when they announced to those shepherds there that Jesus had been born, when they said unto them, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, they were exactly right. In fact, unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There is no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so he came here. He came to this world. He did many things. He had things that he purposed. He had things to accomplish while he was here, but he came here to this world first and foremost, primarily to give his life, a ransom for our sins. In the Gospel of Mark, it's recorded Jesus said that he did not come here to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to know today that if you're not saved, if you've not been born again, if you've not had an experience with God where you know that he touched your soul and forgave you of your sins, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is your only hope. I don't preach any other. I preach Christ and him crucified. And he is the only way. I'm thankful that Jesus came. I'm thankful that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Isaiah said that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You want peace? You want peace in your soul? You're going to have to go see the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that has it. I appreciate your attention today. I'm glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad that Jesus was willing to come and suffer and die for our sins, to shed his blood that was sufficient to wash away our sins. Listen, there was a time in my life when I was just filthy. I mean, inside. My heart, I was just corrupt. I was just filthy, dark and black with sin, and the Lord was able to wash it all away. Isn't that great? That his blood can wash away our sins, and he can do that for you today, and he can give you a peace that passes all understanding. Take what I'm saying today, you ask some of these people here today that have experienced the same thing that I have, and they'll tell you that Jesus can wash away your sins and give you peace in your heart and give you eternal life and make you to know that you have been saved by God's amazing grace. I'd like for us to have a song, Brother Strode. And, we should be thankful. We should be so thankful for what Jesus did because nobody else could have done it.
Number 242, as we stand, you that care to.